Hey, hello, and welcome to the Old Man Orange Podcast. I'm Spencer Scott Holmes.
And I'm Ryan Dunnigan.
And today, if you see that little photo right there, we're talking all about Sonic Movie 2, one of the most magical experiences I had in cinemas. And I'm so glad it was, because I was really afraid that this was going to become like almost like a Kingsman 2, where you get so amped up for it and you're like, there's no way they can mess it up. There's no way. It's going to be so good. Look at that trailer. That trailer is so amazing. I could watch that trailer over every single time I go to the cinema. I never get bored of it. I actually get more into it. You know what I mean? And then the movie kind of comes out and you're like so pumped. And you're like, you just start slowing down.
It's going to get better.
And it's not a bad movie. It's just that lukewarm.
Not Kingsman 1.
Yeah, not Kingsman 1. Just that lukewarm feeling of just, boy, they sort of just defeated that. And Sonic 2, on the other hand, is the exact opposite. It's like where like a sequel should be, where like, hey, you know what? Let's take everything we kind of learned from the first one, amp the fuck out of the Sonic and Sega part of it, and just go with that.
Yeah, I'm going to say this right here. I really liked the movie a lot. I liked it a lot. I liked it way more than the first one, and I liked the first movie. It's not a perfect movie. There is some stuff where it does kind of slow down for a minute, but overall, though, I mean, I saw stuff on screen and never thought I'd see in a live action movie or a big screen. Never thought I'd see if they made a Sonic movie. Never thought it'd be this accurate for the parts they do, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. The fact is like I was almost kind of expecting to do sort of a little bit more like baby steps kind of forward of this one. Like they were going to add maybe one or two more layers and whatnot, and then kind of work their way slowly but surely as the sequels went on farther and farther in the Sonic. And it's like in this one right here, it's like they practically went balls deep. Like all of a sudden, it's just like the movie really focuses on like Sonic and Tails and Knuckles and Robotnik like the whole time practically. It only cuts back every once in a while, and it's only there for like a moment. And because that was always my thing, I was kind of afraid of it first when they had like, oh, here's the wedding scene and so on like that. I'm like, well, we'll see Sonic and Tails, and then it'll probably cut back to like that for like 10 minutes, and then back to Sonic and Tails, and then back to there, and then it's going to be a half-half movie.
Where it wasn't even half-half. There were scenes that went on like longer than like 5 minutes or whatever at the wedding, but it wasn't like you're watching a Transformers movie where we have to spend like a 10-minute scene of seeing Shia LaBeouf get dropped off at college and the mom eat pot brownies, and you know, which pot brownies don't do that to you. I'm sorry that they don't do that, you know. So, but regardless, it was one of those things like that's what a lot of these type of movies tend to do, is the CG character becomes secondary and the human characters are the main characters. Where this, like the first one from the get-go, no, Sonic is the main character, which is the smartest thing they could do other than changing his design. And yeah, I really liked it. I just want to say this real quick. Spoilers. I mean, I think that if you watch this movie and you kind of hear people beating around the bush about, oh, the stinger or this or that, I feel like if you know your Sonic, you could probably narrow it down to a couple of things of what it could be. And I kind of did that to myself because I was watching the trailer so many times leading up to this movie and just getting so amped for it that I almost kind of, to some extent, sort of like, I'm not going to say spoiled the movie for myself, but I did like, was able to parse the movie together. Just like, that's probably at the end. That's probably at the middle. That's probably this. But at the same time, if you like Sonic, this is a movie you should definitely see in the theaters. That's all I can say.
Yeah,
we go into spoiler stuff.
Yeah, must have for any, not only just a Sonic fan, a Sega fan, just video games in general. Like, it's like this movie's, you know, one of those ones that really knocks it out of the park. You know, I mean, if people said this is the best video game movie ever made, I mean, it's probably the most dialed in one ever made. I don't really know, like, you know, I got nostalgia for other things, but this thing is really there. I mean, like, it's there like almost, I would say, like 90%. There's just that little bit, and that little bit's not so bad. Like, it's one of those ones, like, it was already kind of established, I guess, so I sort of accept that, you know. There's maybe only one part in the film that I think is kind of like that little bit of like takes you out of it, just for not really too much, but just enough. And that's about the dead center when like the wedding kind of all falls apart, and there's just a couple of scenes there where, you know, it's kind of like, well, we just sort of had to have it because that character was in the first one.
There are contracts.
Yeah. It's one of those ones, you know, and Sonic and Tails are like knocked out for a moment. So, I mean, it has reason why, I guess, we're there. We're waiting for them to wake back up, but still.
to be fair, to keep it in line with Sonic as well as his games, if you're playing a Sonic game, like a Sonic Adventure style game, like, oh, fuck, okay, I got to do another Emerald finding mission. Here we go. You can view that as movie-wise, like, fuck, okay, we got the Tika Sumpter mission. Here we go. Okay. Tika Sumpter's fine. All the actors in the movie are fine. They're all great. It's just a matter of, like, okay, cool, sisterly bonding. That's nice, but why are we all really here? Come on.
Yeah, exactly. But at least at the same time, though, it's like, mostly when it cuts back, it's like, those scenes are so short. It's like one of those ones. They could have ate that time up just to save money on the movie and not have to, like, do any action scenes or something like that. But this thing plays out almost like a Sonic video game, where it just sort of goes from next level, then things, and so on and so on. And once again, as I said, it's like most of the time it's Sonic, Knuckles, Tails, and Robotnik. And that's so cool.
And you summed that up pretty well. This movie, I mean, aside from being based on a video game, it actually really moves like a video game to a certain extent. So if you really break it down without going into heavy detail of what each scene is, you start off in green. You start off in, I guess you could say, Seattle is the first level, technically, you know. Green, yeah, sure, we have some more funny moments, but then there is action in Green Hills. Green Hills is almost your foresty second level. Third level is Ice Cap in Siberia. Fourth level is, like, what we want to call Hawaii level.
Well, there's, like, the aquatic ruins kind of, like, section.
Yeah, aquatic ruins, labyrinth kind of part. I guess that is Hawaii still, so that counts, yeah. So that area... And then you go back to Green Hill for the boss battle to go against the Death Egg robot. So it is this movie that has very much a level-like structure. And there is always some kind of action set piece in every one of those.
Yeah, like, it's that kind of thing. Like, what it really feels like a lot, too, is it feels a lot like Sonic the Hedgehog 3. Because, really, you start off on the mushroom level, almost, because that's even the very beginning scene with Jim Carrey up there, you know? And it's almost like, when I was watching that, all I was thinking about was, like, the comic book, too, where it's like, okay, he's up there just getting high the whole time and, you know, working on experiments. So.
I think it's implied, because the first, like, 2 minutes or 3 minutes of this movie is just Robotnik doing just... experiments with mushrooms, trying to make coffee out of mushrooms and just with failing each time. And I think it's implied that since he's been eating mushrooms for the last, like, not a year, but it's been almost a year since he's been eating mushrooms this whole time, it has warped his mind. He has gone more crazy. And I was surprised how directly the prequel comic tied in to the beginning of this movie. I assumed it would just be something very like, oh, here's something. The guy drawing the comic wanted to get creative. So here's these little, like, Boba Fett wannabe characters. And like, oh, fuck, they're in this. Yeah. They're in this too. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, all that stuff was there. It was just like, oh, there's that. And then it's like, even like the bank heist of Sonic. Well, that's Sonic's kind of first scene, but it's like right after the comic book, here's the rest of it. And now we're in this kind of action scene where, like, Sonic literally destroys all of Seattle practically, or a block.
Yeah, and I want to get this part out of the way. There is some cheesy humor. There is some groany humor. And the one of the problems this movie has altogether, not so much pacing or structure, but I guess a problem the movie does have, just to get the negative out of the way, is they still kind of go like, well, it's a kid's movie, so we got to put in some kid humor, you know? And
yeah,
I know that going in, so I wasn't immediately like, oh, this shit again. it's throughout the movie, and there are a few moments you're kind of like, but it's not, like, as bad as other movies, and there still are a lot more funnier jokes within the film, and the action is really good, and plus it hits all the right little nostalgia buttons.
Yeah, because there is that little bit of kid, and I think that's always the hard thing about Sonic the Hedgehog, is you have 40-year-olds who are like, yeah, and then you got, like these, like, 6-year-olds that, like, they just like the Sonic plushie and so on like that, and... You know what I mean? So it's like a weird... I notice that I don't see as much, like, in between there. It's a bunch of middle-aged men and women in there, and then there's a bunch of, like, really young children, and it's, like, almost like no teenagers.
Let me tell you a little bit of something. I know we were just talking about the movie, but I can just give you, just to elaborate on what you just said, and with my own experience. Now, I really wanted to see this movie Thursday, and I also would have even gone on my way to see it Wednesday, but just... things in a line, and I was thinking, well, I'm going to go see it. I know it's spring break, but a lot of schools around here are back in session, so I'm going to go see this Friday first showing and just avoid the internet and go see it that way.
Yeah.
That plan fell right the fuck through. So the theater we went to, you have to, like, you know, pre-order your tickets and choose your seats.
I think that's, like, everywhere now.
Yeah. Directly, I was directly in the middle, second to last row. And my row only, mm-hmm. and the one in front of us, all lined up with parents and kids. The type of parents that don't tell their kids to shut the fuck up when the movie's
on. Yeah, they don't give them the old backhand or any of that good stuff.
Yeah. Sometimes you just got to punch a kid in the face when they're talking in a movie. I'm sorry. You got to just put that out there. You know?
That's what keeps little Billy in line. So
Sonic's talking. You're not.
Yeah, exactly. Too many of these.
What would Knuckles do if he was here?
Yeah, exactly. Punch shit, you know.
So, right there, like, I was just sitting there, just, like, not saying nothing, because the trailer's already going, and parent, you know, the Minions trailer. Like, it's one of those things, like, they're the clues. They're the clues that tell you what you're in for, and people can talk during the trailers sometimes. I prefer they don't, but they can, whatever, you know. But the minute the Minions come up, and then the dad, he's like, oh, look at that, the Minions, Billy. He's like, oh, the fucking Minions! Like, oh, we gotta see, oh, they're playing Motley Crue. I didn't even move, but she could see, I guess, just the faint twitches in my eye or something, or like my hand grasping my drink. And she's like, there's no one down in the third to last row. I'm like, you're right. And then we just went down there. And there, you're right, there was no middle ground. It was just adults.
Yeah.
Adults with kids.
Yeah. Well, there was a singular adults that, you know, that come just to see Sonic the Hedgehog, you know.
On that note, my theater was giving out these cool posters, like these cool promotional posters that were made by Tyson Hess. People mm-hmm. in the live stream can see this if they want. These really cool posters by Tyson Hess, and who does a lot of Sonic artwork, and he helped redesign the character for the movies. I saw those going in at the ticket check-in thing,
mm-hmm.
and like I just saw those there, and she didn't offer anything. She's like, okay, I just kept them walking, and then like I saw kids even, can we have a Sonic poster? Like, oh yeah, here you go, Billy. And then like, you know, they were kids, Billy. And then Ava had to run to the bathroom, stand there, I'm like, just lumbered on over, like, are you free? Like, yeah, like, oh, okay, you know, just take one. I never got so much judgment from a fucking 14-year-old looking at TikTok videos before.
That's so weird. This day and age, I just don't expect
it. Not that it happens more than once. I think it's the first time, actually. It's not like I hang out with 14-year-olds watching TikTok.
I feel like, you know, 20 years ago, I can see that, because that's just the time period where it's just like, you're 14 years old, it's time to strap your boots on, become a man, and get a job, and everything like that. But nowadays, I just feel like that kind of went out the window almost a little bit more. I'm not saying there's not always going to be that person. No matter where you are in life, there's always that one judgmental person, but seems like this day and age, it's just like, even like the old people got to kind of accept it, that there's a bunch of, like, you know, the next stepped up older people like ourselves, I guess, that are just like, yeah, fucking Sonic the Hedgehog! You know, where the movie theater practically is kicking you out. Be like, okay, you guys, you've been talking about the movie for the last 45 fucking minutes after it. Just go outside. Go anywhere else but here. We're closing.
You're so goddamn pale. Get some fucking sun. And then it was just me just looking in like a fucking Hawaiian shirt. Like, I looked like I was single and by myself, like, I don't have anything to prove I was here or that I did anything with my life. May I take this Tyson Hess Sonic 2 poster? Like, yeah, just get the fuck out.
You know, you're the first person to mention who drew it. It's one of those ones. Like, I'm kind of bummed they didn't have those in mine, because I have one from the Sonic the Hedgehog. The first movie had posters and all kinds of shit. There was even, like, a photo booth for Sonic the Hedgehog and whatnot that they put up. Like, they went to town on it, and I was like, this is amazing.
I'll take the poster over the photo booth. I'll say it right now.
I mean, well, yeah. I mean, I'd take everything. Fuck it. I'll take anything that moves.
I want it all. Anyway, sorry. I totally derailed us. But the point was, going off what you said, there was like either children or people our age just want to see, like, relive their childhood. So, and I was like, I'm not about to get in a fight or argument. Like, tell your kid to shut the fuck up. Like, bro, it's a Sonic movie. You're right! I've waited 30 years for this fucking day! You know, so I was not ready to have that conversation. So I'm just like, fuck it. We're going down to the bottom row, and there we go.
Yeah, well, I've kind of learned when it comes to movie theater, you got to sort of judge the audience before you make the notion, because Real quick, if you do that, everybody else is going to look at you like the asshole, and then next thing you know, you get a lot more chaos. I know this because of from experience that I literally said that at one of the wrong places and so on, and it was like, wait a second, this is not going to work out at all. Everybody here is like an alcoholic that doesn't know what's going on anymore. Like, I'm the only one here to seriously watch the movie.
And I saw, like, you know, like a dad who had a couple of craft beers stuck in his pocket, and he was wearing a metal shirt, and he had three kids with him, and the kids were loud and bouncing all over the place. I'm like, please be one of those, like, questionable dads taking your kids to go see X. You know, please be taking them to see X, please. I don't give a shit how those kids turn out later in life. Go take them to see X. Don't – fuck. They're going to the same theater as us. Fuck. You know, here we are.
There's only so many choices, I guess, but, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's to be expected. And probably the teenagers probably rolled in, I guess, by the time the weekend kind of – the nighttime came and so on. Because I'm not denying that they're not there, but it's just – yeah, the opening day, that's all there was. It was just like the mix. It was the hardcore Sonic fans and the parents of the kids who probably had that weird look of like, who the fuck is with these, like, you know, 30-year-olds just fucking shouting Sonic the Hedgehog at the top of their lungs and slapping fucking high fives.
Ava and I were the only two adults in there without children. So.
Oh, that's bad. There was probably more just regular
other days.
Yeah, adult. Well, because I also went day one, so I think that made a difference too.
Yeah, usually I would try and see something like this day one, but just scheduling in life. But going back to, I guess, the movie itself, I mean, yeah, it really did have like this level type progression, which I feel like the first one didn't really have. The first one, like somebody else said this, I think I heard on Sunset City podcast, they said the first movie felt like two different people trying to make a movie. Where one was like, let's just try to make the most by the numbers CG character road trip movie with a human character. And the other is like, no, I'm a big Sonic fan. Let's try to make it more like Sonic. And out of that, we got a good movie,
yeah.
But still a really formulaic movie.
Yeah, no, it's like the first one just works out magically in a weird way, you know, just in the simplistic of it all. Like it just kind of came together, right? Even if it's doing kind of a generic kind of tried and true formula, it works for that Sonic one. Where I feel in this one here, it's like almost like if you push that one, you know, company man out of the way and you just let the Sonic the Hedgehog fans come in and just, I mean, it felt like there's only just a little bit of looming over just to kind of add, as I said, like I feel like we were so close to almost having one where it's like it's going to be the only live action character in it is Jim Carrey. And you know, if you want to call that, like, Jim Carrey's almost more animated than any animated character out there. So, you know what I mean? But, like, it's so close to that. Like, I will say, like, if you almost just cut off Cyclops and his family and, you know, the wedding and so on like that, it literally, you know what I mean? Like, you almost could. But at the same time, it's like, because of the first one, like, I kind of accept Cyclops and his wife and, you know, their family and all that stuff. As I said, none of that really takes away from it. If there is only one part that is like the little bit of like the dip in the movie, and it's like it's a light dip, it's not that extreme, but is when after they have the big avalanche part that you see in like the trailer and so on, and Sonic comes like, you know, surfing in with the ring into Hawaii at the wedding and so on, from that point on Tails is like knocked out, and there's maybe like a 10-minute scene that kind of ensues where, you know, I don't know, like Cyclops' wife's sister realizes that the wedding's all a sham and the government was just waiting for this, was just waiting for Sonic to come surfing through a ring and then they would capture him.
They were waiting on, it was very elaborate. Like, I'm going to say that part is, I understand you want to get Gun in there. Uh-huh. I get that. But that seemed like kind of over, like, you know where they're at. You know where they're at. Maybe you're just yeah. Banking on that's the one thing in the movie. Like, I heard people talking about there's a twist when, like, in the middle, which is like, really this? I'm like, yeah, it's,
I mean, it is a twist. I'm not saying it's not. And I'll say is, if you didn't know anything about Sonic, that probably would throw you off, but.
Well, it's also, I mean, Gun is just basically the Sonic version of S.H.I.E.L.D. at the mm-hmm. end of the day. I mean, literally, it's an acronym. So, and the whole thing with that was, I mean, whenever they were in Hawaii with James Marsden and, like, the new husband and the sister and Tika Sumpter, all that back and forth, there's some funny jokes in there. There's some parts. There's no part where I was just like, oh, fuck this. It was just kind of more of, like, the logic gap of there's an easier way to get the hedgehog. You guys know where he's at. You gave him an Olive Garden, like, gift card at the end. Maybe it was just like, okay, maybe there's another cut where it's just like, okay, we just need to hang around him long enough and the Hedgehog will pop up. That's when we capture him. But the thing is that you don't need that in the first place, because we got to capture the Hedgehog, we got to capture the fox. But then it just like, it's so quickly dismissed and like, hey guys, they're the ones that can help us right now. Okay, he's right. Let him go. Like there wasn't really needed. I understand you want to present this stuff, maybe foreground, laying down the foreground laying down the things for the following, for the upcoming sequel. But at the same time, it's just easier ways to do it.
Yeah, as I said, I feel like that's sort of there just to add some more human character element. It's there for like the, you know, like the 50, 60-year-old dad who's just like, what the fuck are we watching? Like that kind of guy. And it's just like, oh, at least there's somebody I can relate to. There's an old man with a gun. Looks like he's got an authoritative figure, you know. He's the guy right there. He's going to take charge of this movie, right? Oh, he's tied up to a chair already? Jesus. That was the only guy I could relate to in this film.
I won't jump. We'll hold off on till the mid-credit thing. But we'll come back to that old guy for that. I think another part, because when initially I heard there's a dance off in the movie, I'm like, oh, there's a fucking dance off. And then like seeing the movie and like they're in Siberia, more or less ice cap zone. And then you're watching them do like, okay, that part was all very slapsticky and kind of when people want to make like Alvin the Chipmunks and Garfield references. I understand why if you'd lean on that scene, but the scene kind of went all in and dedicated itself and went on longer than you'd expect it to, that I was kind of like, I mean, they made it way more elaborate, way more over the top, and just kept on going and going, and the guy could not like handle like Sonic and Tails' dance moves, so he fucking faints. Like, it's an episode of South Park. Like, he got served. Like, oh, he just goes down.
Well, that's the thing, is I think that's what makes the Sonic one work, is it owns those scenes. Like, those scenes that realistically on paper I feel would sound corny and stupid, and then you kind of see it and you're like, you know what, that works. I laughed, there were some good moments. I mean, I even like the part where like there's even like when like they go afterwards, everybody's been partying and everyone's passed out and so on, so it just makes it feel like it was a fucking rager afterwards once they became friends. We just didn't get to see that scene. And there's a part where like, okay Tails, we're gonna go lay down by the fire and whatnot, and then like the next morning there's like that like scary kind of lady who is like knitting and so on, and she's holding on to Sonic like there next to the fire, and he looks over at Tails, he's like, Tails, buddy, we got a problem.
We gotta go. It doesn't even show they resolve it. It just cuts to later.
Yeah. Like, so it's like, I feel like that's the thing, is like humor still is that really good, even if it does kind of have a mixed match of kind of like between the kids stuff and even like, you know, serious adult and then like, you know, hard cut, like deep cut video game ones. But It just all works. I mean, the whole time through, I'm just having a ball. I'm having a good time. I got like my heart racing and so on like that when you see certain scenes and all that kind of stuff. Like, I mean, it's like nostalgia fuel going on there.
The first one, it wasn't like jam. People made it out that the first one was just jam packed with Easter eggs from the game, where there's more than you'd expect it to be. But I think you could probably count all the Easter eggs, or the real significant Easter eggs, like on two hands, probably.
Yeah.
This one, I think you probably could go back and double check, because there are things like they even make a second reference to the Sonic meme, which is when he's out in when like, you know, he's just like, oh, actually, I know you were out in Seattle doing whatever, because, you know, it shows the little dummy thing and the thing has the face of the Sonic meme, you know? So there's like things like that. And even like to the level of like Sonic can't swim. They make that a plot point. Yeah. Sonic can't swim and he's scared of water. They threw the fucking air bubble.
He's the air bubble. The only thing that would have topped that air bubble scene off is if it would have had the opa sound. If that was the only thing I was waiting for. But I'm like, okay, because the sound effect's not there. It's like,
or an orchestral sound of like the drowning theme.
Yeah. Like, and then right before Knuckles gets him, he goes down, and then Knuckles grabs him.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's like little things like that. But I mean, like, that's not, I mean, now you're just really asking for everything.
I'll say Idris Elba is Knuckles. I think he might be the best part of this particular movie.
Yeah, he's really good as that. And I feel like it's the nice thing, too, is it's something way different for Idris Elba. Like, you wouldn't guess that's him right off the bat. You know what I mean? Like, if I didn't know that going in there, he's really like almost like character acting.
It sounds like him, at the same time, like, I sounds like him, I know it's him, but I wasn't thinking of Idris Elba the whole time. I was thinking, oh, Knuckles.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, sure, he has kind of a quasi Cockney accent, but it's Knuckles, and it worked. You know, it just, he was just one of the best parts. And you think about like how serious and how intense he is the whole time. And I have not been recording this whole time.
Oh, well, whatever. I got the other recorder going.
Good. Okay.
That's why there's backup recorders in life.
Fuck me. All right.
Knuckles.
Okay. Knuckles. Jesus Christ. First one today, I promise. First one today. Anyway, Knuckles, he is probably one of the best parts of the movie. But the thing is, you think about like, oh, he's just going to be, he's a very serious character, but how intense and serious he is over everything is what makes him so funny.
Yeah, because he's just that kind of guy who's, it almost has, I guess you would sort of say it's kind of like the Thor humor and like Thor, like maybe like the 1-2 and like Avengers. It's where it has, he hasn't gone super slapsticky yet, but it's just like, he just doesn't know this world's like customs and all that kind of stuff. And things are all kind of still new to him.
Well, even in the end of the movie, when they're all playing baseball and he's all like, why do I start, you know, they're making a joke about storytelling. Like, if I'm going to end up here, why do I start here in the first place? You know, why am I going to leave? I'm just going to end back in the same spot.
Yeah.
So it's like, you just have to catch all the bases and then you come back to here. Like, and he goes like, I claim the first base, and runs by the second one. Second base has been claimed to me as well. You know?
Yeah, just like just him, just like really this like reveling and all that and so on and getting like hardcore involved. Like once he finally kind of sort of gets it, doesn't totally get it, then he just gets really down for it. Like even there's a part of he was like, okay, whatever, baseball's done. Like Knuckles already lost the ball because he decided to punch it as hard as possible and it flew off to the next dimension. But let's go get ice cream and so on. And Knuckles is like, what is this ice cream? Do they serve it with grapes? And Sonic's like, well, not traditionally.
Well, that's even like a weird little cut because the idea, like back when you would look at the old all that information wasn't readily available back then, but if you ever you have I had a friend who had a Sega Saturn, and he had Sonic Jam. And on there, they had character profiles. Maybe you learned the little in-deep things you wouldn't get from just other Sonic media. It's like Sonic's favorite food, chili dogs, we knew that. Knuckles' favorite food, grapes.
Yeah.
You know? So the fact they're pulling in from that right there.
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, there's those weird little things. And I think that's just the nice thing about it, is it feels like, as I said, like I've liked a lot of the video game movies over the year, but a lot of times I always kind of accept a lot of them as like, hey, this is just what you get. Just take it for what it is and start trying to like compare it hardcore to the source material. This feels like the first time where it's like, oh, no, we literally actually have people that full on legitimately care about. They're not just trying to make something to make something. That's like, no. Like we actually have some fan involvement for once. And I'm saying that there probably hasn't been on other movies at, you know, certain times, but I feel like it's been diluted at least, if that's kind of the case.
Sorry, just one quick second.
Okay.
All right. Back.
Okay. Back in action.
Literally a second. Dog. Anyway. Also, how many people thought they'd go and see a movie with Robotnik or the Death Egg robot doing the Phil ensemble walk?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought, too. Once I started playing Pantera, it was just like, oh!
What the shit? Just like, I know it's more for a joke, but just like, dun-dun-dun-dun. Just going
dun-dun-dun-dun. Yeah, I know. Just looks like Phil someone walking across the stage and so on. Like, to me, because it sounds weird, but, like, that's like, you know, what do you listen to when pretty much, like, Sonic and Knuckles and Sonic 3 comes out? Pantera would have been one of those things you would have been blasting along with it, so it felt like it was so right to have there as well.
That or the Chili Peppers, yeah.
Yeah, some point they got to get Chili Peppers in there. I feel like
I'll say this might sound very random. I thought that, like, you know, Kid Cudi was a pretty good choice for doing like the song for this. I mean, what comes to mind is immediately like '90s rock, like the Chili Peppers and whatnot, because that's when Sonic came out. But Sonic is very much whatever the time, whatever's cool at the time. So that's what Sonic kind of apes.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if the kids are still really into Kid Cudi. I don't know. I like Kid Cudi a lot, but I liked the song he did. It's, mm-hmm. I know it's a very cheesy, upbeat, happy pop song at the end of the day, but I thought it fit this movie perfectly. It has the perfect balance and energy for this film.
Oh, yeah. No, I thought that worked well, too. And I mean, like, that's the thing is I kind of expect, like, you know, it's like that thing. There's like the 90s kid in you where you just feel like this thing should make it feel like it's 1995 and nowhere else. You know what I mean? You feel like you want that experience. And it's like, well, you got to kind of understand that there's, I mean, there's also, you know, there's that I always call the sort of the second generation of Sonic fans, you know, which is the 2000s, like almost like. I guess you would say right after us being like the 90s fans, there's like the next wave, which is everybody who's like, you know, Sonic Unleashed is the best Sonic game ever made, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if it's your favorite, it's your favorite, but no.
You know? You know, but that's the thing, though, is those kids,
some things aren't that subjective. You know?
When they grew up, you know, that was their jam. It's like kind of like a movie or something like that. Like when you're a kid, if, you know, you can experience a movie that's probably like a C or B movie, but if that was happened to be like the kind of the one VHS you owned and you watched kind of the Living Daylights out of, you enjoyed it a hell of a lot more than everybody else did. And I think that's kind of like how some of those like later day Sonic ones are. Cause it's like, you look at the reviews on like all those ones for like kind of like GameCube 360 era and so on like that. And those games all got like 5 stars now and people love the Living Daylights out of them. It's cause there was just a different generation that came around to it and grew up, you know, with it. So I feel like there's that kind of Sonic generation. And then of course, obviously, now there's, like, you know, the younger kid section that, you know, probably is where their parents are like, yeah, I remember, you know, I played Sonic 2 before, like, got a job and joined the military and had you.
Had to put the Pantera tapes away.
Yeah, had to put the Pantera tapes away. Well, I mean, according to, like, that Ozfest documentary, that was, like, what they would listen to when they went over there in Iraq and started blowing things up, but... I can't remember what it was. I want to say it was in that Ozfest one where like the guys are like in a tank and they're like, well, this is our jam when we drive in the tank, and they had like Let the Bodies Hit the Floor. Just like, well, they're getting really into this.
Let the Bodies Hit the Floor. Pantera I get, but yeah. I'll say the first half of the movie, going back on the pacing thing, I think once they get I was enjoying the movie, but I thought it was like, oh, we could pick up the pace a little bit. And then once Sonic and Tails meet up and they're heading towards Siberia, that's like, okay, this thing's picking back up. This is the movie. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping it's going to be, oh, we have the dance. Oh, we're going to have the wedding for a minute. But then we get back to the main, what the movie is. And like you said, it's kind of like each area in the movie is treated like a level out of the game. So maybe it's not exactly this level, but it takes elements of that. I mean, the temple is more or less a combination of Labyrinth Zone from Sonic 1. I'd say a little bit of Aquatic Ruins from Sonic 2. And then
the one in
Mystic
Sonic
Ruins.
3.
What?
The one in Sonic 3 for sure. Because it literally has a part when Sonic falls down. He literally goes down the slide the same way that it goes like in the game.
That's right. Hydro City.
And then I'd even say a little bit of Sonic Adventure as well, too.
Sonic Adventure, the Mystic Ruins level. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's kind of like those three kind of mashed together, or those four mashed together. And, if there's snow, it's Ice Cap. It could be nothing but Ice Cap.
Yeah, exactly. So you got that, you know. Well, I guess there's also the level in Sonic 4, Episode 2. There's that snow level that nobody ever brings up.
I mean, there's a bunch of snow levels in Sonic, but it's always like, okay, this is the beach level, this is the snow level, this is the one of Robotnik's, like, factory levels, you know. It's kind of like the different archetypes of Sonic levels.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, as I said, as it kind of goes on, and I said the one part that it does sort of dip is once they come out of the snow level and there's the wedding. And it's more just like the part when, like, she's just trying to figure out, like, did you really love me? Or is this just a ploy? And it just goes on that, and you're just kind of like... There's a part where there's like, that's like the only slowdown. And I mean, it's probably less than 10 minutes as they kind of have their little back and forth kind of scuffle and so on. And then they come together somehow. It's like, you know, breaking the one rule of undercover work. I fell in love, like one of those kind of things. You know, and I'll say this, it's not that it's never like one of those ones you're like, oh, geez. It's not like that kind of thing. It's just more like, it's just a little bit of a dip. But then it just ramps back up again. And then... next thing you know, it's just hardcore the whole way till the end. And
well, I'll say, even though that is kind of around the dip, I do think it's funny when she's just so pissed off. Like, what's that noise? And she's driving the just married golf cart and they're like playing Barracuda by heart.
Oh, yeah.
And then she's like plowing through shit. And then she it's drifting and she steps out and walks in slow motion and just has like this fucking death stare. The thing's exploding and crashing behind her. Like, I'm not going to lie. I was laughing on that part.
Well, yeah.
At the exact same time. Didn't need to be there, but I wasn't like, okay, I feel like since you got a chuckle out of me, it warrants it to some extent. At the same time, I feel like this story, I mean, maybe if the, what's her name? Rachel, if she was a more prominent character throughout the first movie and this movie, maybe that would have meant more of something. But I mean, I feel like they just wanted to do more with her and give her and Maddie something to do in the movie as well. So I think that's the main reason that was there. Maybe contractual obligations too. Who knows? But it didn't kill the movie. It didn't knock it down at all. But that is one of those things where it felt like the executive who never picked up a Genesis controller leaning in.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. It's like it's not bad. That's the thing. It's none of those scenes whatsoever are bad. They're actually all done really well. If it's any other movie, you wouldn't even think of it. You know what I mean? That would have just been a fun part of the movie. There's laughs. They all work out. I'm not saying anything against any of that stuff. It's just that slight dip out of like it's that weird one where like we're in other movies sometimes when you have like that really weird scene where it's like, oh, it went all fantasy for a second, kind of took me out of the movie. It's like the other way around where it's like, oh, it kind of went grounded back in reality for a second, sort of took me out of the movie. Like one of those kind of things. And I think there's no contracts or anything like that. I think that the thing is because they established the first movie that has now said that, like, hey, there's some people, this is the only Sonic they've ever seen. If we just ripped all these characters out of it there, they'd be like, what the hell happened to it? It literally felt like Mortal Kombat 2. They just killed Johnny Cage off in the very beginning, you know what I mean? Like, there's somebody out there that would have thought that.
So surprised they opened Sonic 2 with, like, Maddie's sister getting her neck snapped by Robotnik and then chucking her down.
You know? But I think as it kind of goes on, I think the thing is because it sort of resolved there. And I think also what they were doing is they were doing, that was a safety net thing too. I really think that there was still that little bit like, just, you know what? We're doubling down on the Sonic. Don't get us wrong. We're doubling down on Sonic, but just in case, let's pull back. Just leave that little bit of like, you know, that little bit of like grounded in reality characters and so on. And I think that's just there where I think by Sonic 3, they're going to probably be like, you know what? We'll have a scene with like Cyclops in the beginning and, you know, Cyclops and the wife, and that's it. And then from that point on, I almost have a feeling like they'll go to space. Like, they might even go
Cyclops
to Mobius.
Cyclops and the wife.
Yeah. Is it Jean Grey? Well, it's not Jean Grey in this one.
I'll say that I thought they utilized Maddie and Tom, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Donut Lord. I thought they utilized them well in this because they're there in the beginning to give enough of, like, okay, Sonic's at home, Sonic's family, this and that. They love Sonic. And Sonic loves them back, but there was a little bit of friction, you know. And then by the end, when they actually have that moment where Sonic is so, like, beaten down, he can't run fast anymore. He's all out of energy. Right before, yeah, he goes full-on Super Sonic, which I thought he would do. But at the same time, I was kind of wondering, how are they going to do it exactly, you know? And then, like, it wasn't as impactful as, say, something like Toy Story 3, where they all hold hands as they slowly decide to head to the incinerator. But it was, like,
one of them just starts fucking being off real hard, like, dude, what are you doing?
He's just like,
Mr. Potato Head,
Woody,
jerk me off!
Don't call Woody for nothing!
Jerk me off, Mr. Potato Head!
Just, they're all just like, all the girl, they all just start jerking off or masturbating, like, oh, going down the fire. That's where the fucking crane comes in and
picks
saves
them.
And then they just act
that
like that never happened.
Yeah, never speak of that again.
We all thought we were going to die. But no, but the idea of, like, you know, in a Sonic movie, Sonic and the two human characters are like, we're about to fucking die here. And rather than being like, oh, bring it on, Eggman! It's just like they hold hands and, like, they all say to each other, I love you guys. I love you guys. You know, just ready to die. That moment right there was like, oh my God. Like, that moment got me. That moment got me pretty hard. I didn't like tear up or anything, but it got me pretty good.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is there's a lot of good moments like that, too, where you get those, like, oh, that's sweet. And even, like, that, the whole, it's got a great moral, just like how the first Sonic kind of does. It does have, like, a good kind of, like, moral in there, and at the end of the day, it's, like, almost that thing that, because, like, really what this story, I guess, is, if you kind of, like, summed up in, like, this, like, sort of way, it's, like, about, like, almost, like, a family, like, adopting, you know, a lost kid. Like, that's really, like, what the story is. Hey, here's this, like, kid that nobody else would take in, and we've kind of adopted him, and so on like that, you know. And it even has that thing, there's even, like, a scene in the beginning where, like, Sonic goes fishing with, like, Donut Lord and whatnot, and it literally is, like, that scene that would be, like, any movie where it's, like, you know what? My dad took me out to go fishing, and this is where we shared a beer for the first time, so Sonic, let's share a beer. If this wasn't a kid's movie, that's what that would have been. This is, like, National Lampoon's Vacation. That's, like, the beer-sharing scene right there.
It's like, oh, you brought beer? I brought something else. Just like steady stealing lines of Coke. Like, oh, yeah! Right there on the boat.
They come back. The wife says, so what'd you guys catch? What? Catch what? You guys were out fishing all day. We were?
Their eyes are all bloodshot. Like, fucking Tom's shirt's unbuttoned. And just like, oh, fuck. He has like a bruise. He doesn't know how he got it.
Yeah, those ones.
What happened? You're missing, like, three fingernails. Like, oh, she, someone dared me. Do what? I'll tell you later. It's fucked up.
Yeah, like, well, those ones. But, like, still, they got those just nice kind of moments sprinkled throughout. And I think it's just, like, it's just there just enough to keep, like, you know, okay, it works. It's never like that one. It, like, Transformers is a perfect example of, like, when you get, like, the humans that literally get too much in the way of, like, what you're really all here for. This movie, like, almost, like, learns from those mistakes from the 2000s and just says, no. Our main character should be there the whole time. And the other characters will come in, and they won't ever try to get in the way, and they won't be annoying, and they won't say stupid shit, and they won't make you want to, like, kill them or hope that Tom Cruise kills his kids at some point, you know, one of those kind of things. Like this fucking World of Worlds or something.
On that, kind of on the note of like, you know, being funny and not being funny and all that, Jim Carrey was still really good, and he looks more like robotic more than ever before. That said, he wasn't as funny in this one. But granted, I guess he was more or less the second main character. Because basically, if you think about the first movie, it's Sonic, Donut Lord, Robotnik. Those are the three main characters of the movie.
Yeah.
So I guess since he had to share it with Tails, Knuckles, then there's Sonic, and then there's the other, all the shit going on with the wedding and whatever other character pops in for a minute. He didn't have as much time to do as much of his shtick, but once he gets the Death Egg robot, it's like, okay, it was building up for him to do a lot of the Jim Carrey shtick here.
Yeah, exactly. I still think all his stuff still works. And I think the thing is, it's actually nicely balanced, because I think that makes you almost like appreciate all Jim Carrey stuff more, is that he's sort of, yeah, he's not the main character. Because, you know, it's not one of those ones where it's almost like, I know that you're sort of selling that as your top actor is Jim Carrey in there, but I like how they still, once again, sell the movie. It's no. It's first and foremost, it's Sonic. It's almost not doing the thing of, like, in Batman 1989, where it's like, oh, we got Jack Nicholson here, so let's make him technically the main character, and Batman's almost like the second fiddle to it. It's like, no. Our main character's still our main character, but we're going to kind of keep all those magical moments with Jim Carrey coming there. And, yeah, as I said, once it gets to the Death Egg part and everything like that, I mean, that right there, it's just like, such a magical moment. Everything about that is just firing on all cylinders.
Well, even the Death Egg part with the Master Emerald, because the whole time they're focusing on the Master Emerald, and they mention, like, uncovering the lore, which I think the I might be wrong, I might be 100% wrong, but when they're going over the lore behind the emeralds, and they had like the 2D cutscene out of a video game almost.
Yeah,
when they had that stuff there. That kind of gave me, maybe it was Tyson Hess, but it looked like Sonic, like official Sonic the Hedgehog artwork, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It kind of had that vibe, all kind of gridded up. And then they kind of had the thing like, okay, they're referencing the other emeralds, and the other emeralds are fused together to make the Master Emerald. And then he has the Master Emerald, but the thing crumbles apart, and the other emeralds are in there. I'm like, oh, shit, that's how he's become Supersonic. Okay. Like, that part right there I thought was a clever way of doing it. And yeah, he's only supersonic for a moment, and hopefully that doesn't become like a MacGuffin, like every time they save the day by becoming supersonic for a minute. But then there's the whole part where he's all like, it could wilt, like, basically kind of like a Dragon Ball. You can make whatever you want happen in reality. He's like, wait, he's not the Sonic you know anymore. He's a god now. You see him, like, bringing down a lightning just to make a chili dog.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then he gives one to, like, Knuckles, and he just gets, like, two wieners in the eye. But, yeah, it's even, like, that part, too. It's like, yeah, because you do kind of want... I mean, granted, like, you know, you have Supersonic and so on, and I think, like, that's kind of one way to sort of top it off. But, yeah, hopefully it's, like... That's sort of there, and maybe they'll just utilize, when they have the emeralds again, they'll utilize it in sort of a different way, and so on like that, you know, just kind of keep that on the down low. The nice thing is, though, is it is fading its way into, like, instead of just kind of milking, like, kind of like the early day stuff, it's like, oh, shit, they're going to go right into, like, Sonic Adventure kind of era next.
Well, even this, I mean, before we jump onto that part, they even reference, because, you know, something they always brought up, like, you know, Knuckles is able to punch the emeralds out of Sonic when he was Supersonic back in Sonic 3.
Mm-hmm.
And he does that to fucking Robotnik in this.
Yeah. Just those little touches. I think that's so cool. Yeah, he literally full on punches the emerald out of him and everything like that. You know, I mean, that's what I mean. It's like this one just feels like I've just never seen, I guess, a video game movie just get it so accurate and so just like spot on accurate, you know, not just kind of like, oh, I kind of see that in like a different kind of stroke or a different kind of light and something like that. It's like, no, like they literally went the distance in this one.
And jumping over to like the post credit scene, which I think this is basically the rest of the conversation. jumping in and teasing Shadow. First off, Gunn comes in.
Yeah.
Guardians of United Nations, I believe it is. I think it's the acronym.
Yeah.
Do they first
appear in Shadow the Hedgehog, or they appear before that?
Sonic Adventure 2.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, there we go.
They're tracking down Sonic because Sonic was framed. Sonic was framed, and the military is framed by Shadow, and the military is tracking him down. So I could see, like, I'm kind of wondering where they're going to go with it, because it's still all up in the air. Like, Jim Carrey says, I think I'm going to retire acting. I think Sonic the Hedgehog 2 might be my last movie. And they said, well, we don't want to recast Jim Carrey, because who wants to follow up Jim Carrey? That said, though, I'm kind of wondering, like, just give him enough money to at least come back for one more. Just give enough money to come back for one more. And I think the next one, like, I'm wondering what they're going to do with that, because when you think about it, like, who knows if they're going to retcon something or pretend like this was always here. We just never knew about it. The world in the games is very different from the world in the movies. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to wonder, because they say we found a file from 50 years ago. 50 years ago. So it's like, okay, so Shadow's been in a tanker in a base for 50 years. I doubt there's a Space Colony arc. If there is, in all honesty, don't use Space Colony arc, or at least don't use the Death Star thing, because that's a little too, no pun intended, that's too on the nose, literally.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if they're going to do anything to the effect of, like, what if they... This might overcomplicate it, but it ties back to Knuckles as well. And it also... Because I don't believe Longclaw killed all of his family.
All the echidnas.
I don't think he's the last one, but I don't think... I don't think Longclaw killed all of them. I think we're going to find out they might do it something ballsy and make it Shadow, but I think it's going to end up being like chaos.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if instead of the Eclipse canon from Sonic Adventure 2, we still have the same end goal of Sonic Adventure 2, but instead of the Eclipse canon, they're just unleashing chaos, the perfect chaos, the creature.
Yeah, like the chaos creature. See, and that's the thing about Sonic the Hedgehog is, like, I mean, I know Dr. Robotnik's, like, pretty much always in there. I know, like, probably the casual fan probably would only associate Sonic and, you know, Robotnik together, and it would be weird without it. But I feel it's one of those ones you could have Dr. Robotnik kind of leave, and there's so much other characters in Sonic that you would almost be fine with not having to see Dr. Robotnik for a while even, too, if need be, you know?
It's one of those things, like, I'll be 100% honest. When I was younger... I never liked Robotnik. He was just the fat asshole you had to deal with in the game. He was the bad guy. I didn't like him. As I got older, not to like, I rule it! I get it! But like, plunder and pillage!
Yeah!
Not that.
Knowledge is power!
As I get older, I find myself liking that character more.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like for him to be back for the third movie. That said, I don't think he needs to be the main villain for every movie. because I do think it would get a little old, like Robotnik's out again. But I think they plan on making more than three of these things. So, and I feel like you kind of need someone, because Shadow, the whole thing with Shadow is Robotnik thinks, like, Knuckles was a pawn of Robotnik.
Mm-hmm.
Robotnik was the pawn of Shadow. So, did I say that reverse?
You said Robotnik's the pawn of Shadow?
Yeah, yeah. Robotnik is the pawn of Shadow, where in this movie, Knuckles is the pawn of Robotnik. So mm-hmm. I honestly think that that'd be an interesting duality there, you know?
Yeah, well, I think that I would hope that actually Jim Carrey would be there for the third one, because I feel like that would make for a very solid trilogy. You know what I mean? To have all three of them, you have Robotnik, because I feel like you could almost finish him off in that one. And then from that point on, you do have a lot of other things you can kind of do. I mean, not only you could always find, hey, like, before Robotnik went away, he created Metal Sonic or something like that. You know, you could fit all these other characters kind of in there, you know. Even kind of having, because almost like Shadow is like one of those ones, like sort of having him in there first, because it was like, oh, that's actually kind of interesting. Because I would almost thought at first I would have been like, you know, they'll probably do a slow build up and Metal Sonic will be the next one and they'll kind of work their way through. But to go straight into Shadow, I actually think it's more ballsy, and I think it actually makes a stronger statement to have that there. And kind of, once again, now you're capturing kind of like generation two of Sonic the Hedgehog and really kind of like working those characters. And hopefully, the other thing I hope Amy comes the next one, because I was kind of wondering if Amy was going to be like almost like how Tails shows up at the end. I wondered if Amy was going to be in one of the post-credit scenes too, and they just never had her.
If we're just sticking to Sonic lore, these movies, I'm not saying they're all going to do this, and maybe they're not even planned this way. Maybe it's just kind of more coincidental. But they seem to kind of have a little bit of a two characters at a time kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you think about the first one, it's, you know, it's his movie, but it's Sonic and Robotnik. We're not going to count the teaser with Tails. It's Sonic and Robotnik. That's all the first movie is. We sure there was echidnas, but not the echidna. And there's Tails at the end. But just as the movie, what's important, just Tails and just Sonic and Robotnik. Where this one, the two new characters from the games were Tails and Knuckles. And then we tease Shadow. So I'm wondering if they do have this weird strict thing of like, I don't want the movie to become overcrowded. Like, I don't think we need to introduce the Chaotix or Blaze the Cat or like Dr. Starline or any of that stuff like in the next movie. But I do want to see more of the cast. And if you do, like, it doesn't have to be a beat for beat recreation of Sonic Adventure 2, but I do think it would be easy just to go Team Sonic versus Team Dark. Maybe Rouge doesn't have to be a secret agent. Maybe Rouge will be introduced in the Knuckles miniseries or whatever. Who knows? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, I think there's a lot of things to do there. And I think it would be smart just to try and make it more of like a condensed version of Sonic Adventure 2 and don't make it a Death Star clone. Maybe it doesn't have to be Chaos, but it could be something other than a Death Star clone.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think even just taking, you know, elements of both Sonic Adventure 1 and 2, kind of combine those all together and have that there. I feel Amy should be in there. I feel like that's the one, you know, I mean, this one kind of makes sense because this, to me, I felt rounded off the Sega Genesis era, you know, in a sense, even though Amy's technically almost, she's literally just as old as Tails because she's in CD. But, you know, I feel that's kind of, that's your core, you know, quad group of heroes is, you know, Sonic, Tails, Knuckles, and Amy, you know, and that's kind of, you know, have that there. And I feel like it, by this point, by the third one, you're going to want to have kind of like the girl character anyways, because, you know, it's just now it's just, you know, it's just a bunch of, this movie's just all men running around just like fighting each other over emeralds and shit, you know. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but it's like, I feel like having Amy come in there, that will kind of round it off. I could see Amy and Shadow being the two new ones, like, because in a sense, if Tails and Knuckles were the new ones, if we're going off that rule of twos, I could see Shadow and Amy being kind of like the new like creatures in the next one, and then maybe throwing Chaos in there for like a triple threat.
Yeah, like Amy, Shadow, and Rouge, which I think is doable. Like, we don't even need to go into, I mean this is me just speculating, I'm not saying do what's on my checklist, but I can't imagine they're gonna make the Sonic the Knuckles miniseries. Actually, you know what, it just dawned on me now. I knew that the characters would come in to the Knuckles miniseries. I knew other characters would be there because it's just not going to be Knuckles and made up characters around him. It's going to be Knuckles and probably some other characters too. I can honestly see them bringing in like characters to set up in the Knuckles show, so it's not weird when they're suddenly there in the third Sonic movie.
Yeah, kind of just a little bit of a build there. I mean, a lot of times when it comes to that stuff is, you know, even if they have a TV show, it's like they won't sometimes use those characters that come in there as much in the other one because, well, someone never saw the TV show and they just saw the movies kind of aspect.
Yeah, that's a thing too, but I think that with people are getting more used to it with Marvel, and mm-hmm. I know not everyone's Marvel, but they're starting to utilize that more, and I could honestly see it just being kind of like, here's this new character. They could, you know, they could just give kind of a quick, like, say something over the shoulder, like, oh yeah, more people from Mobius or wherever have been coming here recently, and Amy, Knuckles met Amy while he was looking for the shards, the Chaos Emerald, the Master Emerald, or something like that, while tracking down Rouge the Bat. Now Rouge is in the series, Rouge got caught by the government. Now she has to work for them. Something like that, maybe. I don't know. I'm not, it's like, once again, this isn't like, follow my fan script, do exactly what I have right here in my notebook. Flip to page 47, section 32. It's just one of those things, like, I gotta imagine they're moving in with a plan now. You know?
Yeah, well, that's what I mean, is I think that the upside is, it seems like Sonic is now once again serious money again, so hopefully because of that, and just because it's been working out, they'll kind of keep allowing it to be like, hey, just keep doing the game thing. The game thing obviously works. Like, you know, as long as you guys are making us money, we'll just step out of the way. I hope it's that way. That seems to rarely happen, but it feels like that with Sonic too.
This also, I mean, once again, just speculating. If you do have like a chaos level threat, and I think this would be a good thing, they'll be kind of sad and bittersweet, but if you have a chaos level threat and they see the destruction they've basically done to like whatever city, there would be this thing like, things from my world keep coming here and fucking with everything because I'm here. I have to leave. I have to go back to Mobius. And from there, we get to have more CG Sonic characters, and we get to have a tearful goodbye to Donut Lord and all that, and they all go off to Mobius, and from there, if we don't have Robotnik, we at least, maybe we can start pulling, I mean, Archie stuff. I think they would have to pay. I'm not sure how the Archie shit works. I think they might have to pay to get some of the Archie characters, but I think they own the IDW characters, the new ones. I believe they do. Like, Whisper and Tangle are in some of the cell phone games, so.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, there's so much stuff that Sega can pull from to kind of utilize this, that would be, I think, the way to go, is to go to Mobius, literally find a way to get there in 3, whether if that is the movie, even if that even starts off as like, that could almost be one of those ones where it's like a beginning part, like the first act is just all this shit starts coming down here and just terrorizing Earth, and then he realizes he has to leave, and then everybody else follows Sonic up that way, and, you know, something like that. But yeah, there's many things to go with it. I'm just looking so forward to it. Like, it was that kind of magical thing that, like, it was that thing where this movie just kind of came out, and I'm so glad that it is, like, literally, like, movie of the year, and that kind of thing where it didn't disappoint. Because that was my thing. So I was just like, I hope it just doesn't disappoint. That's going to be such a bummer if it does. And the fact that it just knocks it out of the park, like, literally, even Knuckles knocks it out of the park in this one.
More ways than one. Yeah. I was thinking about that because, you know, they just all became friends, and they just all, like, I know this guy was trying to kill us a few days ago, but now we're playing baseball. What if Tails was just a second too late on ducking, and just his whole face is caved in, like a hole in his head, just like, oh, just goes down, like, you killed him! You killed him! Like, you know, after all that shit, like, this, oh my god, what a ballsy way to end this movie.
Yeah, just brutally just murdered over a baseball game.
Like, Sonic holding Tails' like, face, which has a hole in it, like, holding Tails' body, like, crying, like, I wasn't fast enough! I wasn't fast enough!
Started becoming like a Flash comic.
Knuckles is like, just walks away, like, and they just like distraught, like he can't believe, like, I finally had a family and I myself killed it, you know? Like, it just became like the most intense movie this year. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like, Matt Reeves saw this, was like, Jesus.
Just went so hardcore and so on. I
could have gone harder on Batman. Jesus, these guys beat me to it.
Yeah, Sonic literally like raised the bar on it, but yeah. If you know, I mean, this thing has just kind of came out, so I mean, if you have not gone seeing it yet, well, of course you're going to have, you know, a couple of good weeks to go check it out. But it's definitely worth checking out. I mean, For me, I can tell you this is guaranteed. I cannot believe that any other movie is going to top this movie for a top five list, at least. You know what I mean? There might be like maybe like a two-way battle at some point, but this movie's like, I can tell you, I can guarantee it's already in my top five of the year. That's how good it is.
More than likely, it's in my top five. I don't know if I like it more than the Batman. But
yeah,
I
that's one of the ones. As much as I like the Batman, I think I like Sonic more. I think it's one of those ones, really? Like, I like Batman a lot, but maybe it's just because it's one of those ones, like, Batman, you kind of expect it to always be kind of good and solid. I knew that one still, like, delivered and whatnot. But I feel like Sonic delivered more than the Batman did, because there were still my, like, little, there's small problems in Batman, but I feel like I actually have less of them in Sonic, which is kind of weird to say, but, like, it's one of those ones. Like, Sonic just kind of hits all the levels perfect, where Batman does, like, most of them right there. I mean, like, the things that aren't there, it's, like, it's, you know, small stuff, but still.
Yeah, no, I feel you. I got to watch them both again. But the thing is, like, people keep talking about the runtime. Like, I didn't feel like the movie
runtime. Somebody
like,
said that too.
It's 2 hours and 2 minutes. 2 hours and 2 minutes. Like, I mean, those 2 minutes are like, I mean, I think there's some shit you could have trimmed, but that's not so much of, like, the runtime. It was just more of just for the sake of flowing. Like, the wedding thing. We already covered it.
Yeah, well, it's weird because I heard that too beforehand. Like, I remember Kyle was telling me that. He's like, I heard the movie was really long. Like, and when I went in there, I'm like, maybe it's like 2 hours and 40 minutes long or something like that. Because, like, when people say really, really long, I'm like, that's what I'm thinking. They're like, 2 hours? That's a normal movie length. Like, what the hell is wrong with people? Like,
2 hours and 2 minutes. As if anyone's going to sit there through, as if majority of people are going to sit there for the whole credits.
Nobody else did in the theater, I'll tell you that. But yeah, that's the thing. It's like, yeah, I don't know where that was kind of coming from, because it's like, yeah, they made it out. I mean, even if it was like 2 hours and 20 minutes, that would maybe be like kind of like almost like a 007, but it's like 2 hours, like, it's rare to find movies that are 90 minutes nowadays, unless it's like, you know, straight to DVD or something like that. You don't see them like you used to, so, yeah, I don't know why people are saying this movie's like, where are they even saying it's long? It's normal.
Yeah. No, I look forward to the next one. I look really forward to the next one. It sounds like they're all gung-ho, and I think, I don't know how much the movie's made, but I think it's doing pretty good right now.
Yeah, I think so. Well, the upside is at least to it, it does, I mean, other than the Batman kind of like, it's like ending run, it doesn't have a whole lot to compete with. I mean, there's like that new Michael Bay movie and things like that, but, you know, I don't think that's taking any Sonic money away.
Next week they have the new Dumbledore, the
oh, see, yeah, because it's weird they pushed that movie up, because that movie was like supposed to come out at the end of April, and then all of a sudden it was almost like one of those ones like Warner Bros. Like, you know what? Fuck that Sonic the Hedgehog.
You know what? I could, maybe that movie might knock Sonic off number one. I'm assuming Sonic's on number one. I don't know for a fact. I'm assuming it is.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't, because the last Fantastic Beast movie was very meh, and like J.K. Rowling keeps on posting all like the super anti-trans stuff, so I can't imagine like maybe parts of the country like, fuck yeah, we gotta give this, buy five tickets, you know. But like, I feel like that a lot of people about this movie, like, I'll check it out. Like, I mean, I'll check it out, but I'm also kind of like,
I feel those movies have not had the traction like a Harry Potter movie or something like that. But they definitely have the spinoff feel. Like, it's really only for the hardcore fans. You know what I mean? Not saying that that's not a big movie coming out as well, but like, I don't know. I feel like, come on, it ain't no fucking. I can tell you, I haven't watched it yet. It ain't no Sonic.
It ain't no Sonic.
You know what I mean? It ain't no Batman. You know. It ain't no Lost City with Channing Tatum and Brad Pitt and Sandra Bullock. I know that's a weird one to kind of say there, too, but I'm like, I don't know. I had a good old time with that, you know.
I guess the next big thing to come out is Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness. That looks pretty cool.
Yeah, that one looks really good, you know. And then, I don't know, it's just going to be a full-on year of good stuff, so all kinds of things to look forward to. I can't wait for Sonic 3, so probably 2 years from now, maybe, but go from there. Until then, go to oldmanorange.com for podcasts, comic books like Pizza Boys, all our old animations, and all that kind of fun stuff. I'm Spencer Scott Holmes.
And I'm Ryan Dunnigan.
And we'll see you some other time.
Later, folks.